You're starting.
Hello, this is Bob Bemis with Mr. Johnny Holloway. This is for, in conjunction with Dr. Karen Flint's oral history class, the Brooklyn to Bitterville Project. Now, Mr. Holloway, as I understand, you actually were born and grew up in Durham.
Durham.
And you moved to Charlotte when?
1950.
You moved to Charlotte in 1950.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, you took a job at West Charlotte.
Yes.
And what was your position there?
Band director at that time.
Band director.
And later band and orchestra.
Band and orchestra?
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, when you came to West Charlotte in 1950, the school was fairly new, having opened in 1938. What was the state of the band department when you first came?
Well, they only had about 17 students, and they were in upper grade. The band had really gone down. I had to start from scratch, more or less.
And how did you start from scratch?
Well, just at that time, West Charlotte was the 7th through the 12th. And I started students in the 7th grade. And soon I was working in the theater schools such as Double Oaks, Fairview, and Bitterville, which is not there now, but they fed into West Charlotte.
Excellent.
So I had students coming into West Charlotte. So I built up from there. West Charlotte at the time was from 7th to the 12th. And later it became 7th, 8th, and 9th for Northwest, and West Charlotte moved to its present location, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Now, when you were building up the band, how did you receive the funding?
Well, at that time, downtown was providing the instruments for that year. Prior to that time, each school had to go for themselves, and they didn't have much funding for the heavy instruments. But at this, so happened that at 50, when Oliver Cook came to town to be head of the music department, and the superintendent was in favor of funding, so we managed to get funds. But that didn't help the small instruments. The kids bought instruments, bought a lot of
privately.
Yeah, privately.
Oh, so they obviously they're buying them privately. They really want to be in the band.
Yeah, they wanted to be in the band.
Oh. Now you had mentioned the school spirit that was prevalent in West Charlotte.
You were limited to school spirit or just to the music?
Oh, in general.
In general, well, they had at that time a principal who wanted his school to be tops in all areas, and he succeeded in doing that.
Who was this?
The drama department, the athletic department, all departments. He wanted everything to be tops.
And what was the name of the principal?
C.L. Blake.
Blake?
Yeah.
Excellent.
He just wanted that. But we didn't have much funding for music. We had to get it, but the kids bought their instruments. That helped.
Oh.
Kids bought their own instruments.
Now, could you speak a little bit about maybe the other faculty at West Charlotte, some that you remember?
Well, I would say, in my opinion, the faculty was good in all areas. And the teachers were very interested in the students. I'm speaking for majority. And they, most of them had advanced degrees. At that time.
At least a master's.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Well, you got a point.
Yeah.
Now, you were you taught at West Charlotte for how long?
Well, West Charlotte and theater schools, which you might say, 35 years.
35 years, so 1950 to 1985.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, during this period, obviously, you saw an integration or segregation go away and integration begin.
That's right.
And could you speak a little bit about your experiences during that?
Well, it was just a difference, you know. You had a new experience, you know. In my opinion, at that time, the school, West Charlotte, was a proud school. I mean, with the teachers being proud because, you know, And when it started the integration, it was fine. I liked the principal that they had. You know, he was trying to do a good job, but things just changed. You know, the students. That's all I say. It just changed.
It went from a kind of a small community school to a larger area where people were coming in.
Well, you could say that to an extent. Seemed like the discipline changed.
The discipline
began to change.
How so?
Well, just respect for teachers. But West Charlotte was good for that time. But as you start, it just changed. You know, that says a lot when you say respect for teachers.
No, that makes perfect sense.
You know, you didn't have a lot. When you didn't have the same, I venture to say you didn't have the same quality of teachers.
Well, you
had a lot of teachers wanting to be the best in the field, master's degrees.
Yeah. Were they staying at the school as long as they had previously?
Well, they were getting older, and some of them left. You just had a mixture. You had some leaving West Charlotte, going to other places.
Right.
You know, trying to integrate, and you had some other teachers coming to West Charlotte.
Oh, I see.
As I say, I've been away from too long to just see all the problems you have there.
Right.
But for whatever reason you come up with, I can say that the school spirit evidently is not there like it used to be. A desire to excel.
Well, exactly, and we had spoken about rivalries between West Charlotte and, say, schools like Second Ward.
Yeah, but even after Second Ward closed.
Right.
But you still had, they didn't just compete with Second Ward. They, as far as the music department come, when the carousel parade, you wanted to be one of the tops.
Now, what exactly was the carousel parade?
Well, the carousel parade was speaking about the music department. Right. Carousel was a Thanksgiving parade that they have every year on Thanksgiving.
And so schools from throughout the state or just from the local area?
Well, some come to join, but most all the schools in Charlotte participate. You might have some from Concord or Nave, Greensboro, different other places they welcome to come.
And so this was the
time
to shine.
But it was televised, it was,
And so
that was outdoor, more people can be seen with a marching band than can anything else. Your concerts are good, but your attendance is somewhat limited.
Right. So you dealt with the marching band and the orchestra.
Yeah, but the marching band was before I developed the orchestra.
Oh, and when did you develop the orchestra?
About 54, something like that.
Oh. And is the orchestra still there, do you know?
Oh, sure, I'm certain it is.
Sure it is.
Yeah, later. Mm-hmm.
Now, you just gave me a clipping from the April 12th, 1997 Creative Loafing, where it states by Charles Johnson that you and UNCC professor John Harding deserve considerable credit for bringing jazz to Charlotte Public Schools. Now, you obviously have an interest in jazz.
Yes.
And could you tell us how you you brought jazz to the public schools?
Well, John Harding, we got a grant.
You got a grant?
We got a grant to bring it. You know, we had other musicians coming in and talking and playing. That's how it came up.
Also, you developed programs in the school to bring jazz musicians in.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It was affiliated with the school as such. We brought that in as a special attraction for about 20 or 30 schools a year.
Oh, so it was a program that you would travel to different schools?
Different schools throughout the city. Those who wanted it, it wasn't thrown on you.
Oh, sure.
Principals who wanted it.
And who were some of the musicians you brought in?
Well, I didn't think. John Harding, John played, I played. Who else? Bill Hanna helped. Tommy Green helped. So many. I just hate to leave out something, but I can't remember all the musicians.
So,
but we had a nucleus, whereas we played. We had about five or six musicians going in there giving, demonstrating.
Also, you talk for a little while and tell about jazz, and then
and
play.
Play and let the kids play. So
excellent.
Those who asked for it.
Oh sure. Did you get a pretty good response from it?
Yeah, got a very good response.
Excellent.
And I think we just stopped when the Jazz Society is not operating like they used to.
And on that, let's speak a little bit about the Jazz Society. Now, this involves more of your professional career as a professional musician more than your teaching career, would you say?
Well, that was teaching when we were going to school. That was a form of teaching, as a part of teaching. But it just so happened that those who went to the schools could also perform. They were performing, just like Harding was a performer. I was a performer. My memory's getting. I know the Vic Fulcher used to be a pianist and used to play, was available to play a lot.
Oh, excellent.
I think he's passed now.
Oh, okay.
Vic Fulcher, Jim Stax used to be a drummer. Used to go.
Now, were these local musicians that you played?
Local musicians.
Maybe some of the jazz circuits with as well.
Yes, Stax is still active. Gerard Benson.
Gerard Benson.
He's still active. He plays locally with several groups in the city and the Sign of the Times.
Excellent.
Gerard Benson. They were musicians. You could. There were others who went in, but that was what you might say a nucleus.
Right.
Because you could count on them.
Now, you had your own band at this point in time, too.
I had my own band.
But this was a little later. This wasn't during the... What period in time was this that you had your own band?
Well, I had my band up until the... that's about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Up until 98, I believe.
About 98?
Yeah.
And what was the name of your band?
Johnny Holloway and the High Tones. And Johnny Holloway duo or trio, whatever. Cajun Coffee. But the High Tones was a 12-piece, 10 and 12-piece band.
Excellent. And where would you often play with Johnny Holloway and the High Tones?
We played for local dances. We played for, you know, some of the chop clubs in Charlotte.
And some of the chop clubs?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the term. I'm sorry.
Well, we just played just say clubs, you know.
And could you name some of these? Mm-hmm. Tell us.
What clubs you played? So many clubs were here. Well, I tell you my biggest stop, so I just mentioned them. It's a place I can always remember. We played at Pecan Grove, the Nixon Brothers Steakhouse. That was our biggest locations.
Those were your two big draws.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that these were primarily white establishments.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah, primarily.
And they weren't nightclubs more so than dinner clubs.
Dinner clubs, mostly.
A little different environment.
Yeah. But we also had the larger group that played for a lot of the dances.
A lot of the dances?
Yeah.
Now, are these like private dances or like in a, like the Grady Cole or?
Private dances.
Private dances?
Played for a lot of private dances. We played for different occasions, you know, weddings, dances.
That's Now, as I told you, I have to ask because it is.
And we play for we play for other open groups just like this is a. You're not familiar with Lionel Hampton, but he was a great, great band leader in the, up until the 60s.
So you guys were playing with some very well-established musicians, obviously.
Yeah, we opened up for different things that come here. Different projects or different performances that were required. To
right.
Play.
Now, you mentioned that although you did not play at the Excelsior Club often, you enjoyed the jam sessions there.
Well, I would go during one period during the 50s and 60s. And I would like to go up there and jam, but I just didn't play that much. That wasn't my thing to play. I'd go there to jam.
Okay. Tell me about one of these jam evenings. Like, what were they like?
Well, just like a jam session, just like you. It's just a club where people come in and listen to the music, and after so long, a lot of time, a lot of them want to dance after then, you know, after the jazz. And then sometimes some groups are coming out and mix up jazz with dancing. But the way it is now, I understand, of course, I'm not out much at night these days. I sometimes go, but Excelsior still has a nice group.
Exactly.
That's playing on Wednesday nights, you know. I go there sometimes, but I'm not a night person now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, in your experience, how did you feel that the local musicians in Charlotte, were they helpful as far as getting each other jobs, or were they supportive, or was it more of a kind of a more competitive than that?
Well, it's being competitive because there are some musicians in Charlotte who did it as a secondary job. Some of them did it at their first job. So naturally, you're going to have different ways of going about it, you know. For instance, there are some musicians in Charlotte who will travel. You know, there are some who have a day job and don't want to go to any place. They just play what's locally.
And did you travel often?
Very little.
Very little?
No, no, no.
You traveled with your school band, though.
Well, that was, you know, you might go, that's not considered traveling.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, you're just going to a festival or you're going to, that's not traveling. You go somewhere three or four times a year. That's
a day trip on a bus rather than touring.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Not travel.
Excellent.
I had enough of travel, you know, prior coming here. I had enough of that. I didn't want that.
All right. So yeah. Before you moved to Charlotte.
Yeah, I had enough of it, which wasn't much.
Good deal. Mr. Holloway, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, not especially. Just anything you ask. If I know it, I'll answer. If I don't, I'll just say I don't remember, which I probably won't.
Very good. Well, we have a few more minutes here. We're not very far into it. Let's touch on the, because we kind of skimmed over this for a moment. Let's touch on the subject of integration in the schools, because I find this to be fairly interesting in the fact that we haven't really talked to very many faculty members mm-hmm. when this was happening. And did you find that the school grew all of a sudden, or was it a transition over time?
Let's see. 50, I'm trying to think what year integration started. That was limited integration, and that was quite a bit of integration, I think, during the... I think it was during the 70s, I believe.
During the 70s?
Yeah. I think it started in the 60s, and I think you really had more of it during the 70s.
So most of the change occurred, the real dramatic change occurred in the 70s.
So. I think so. So what are you asking?
Well, I guess I'm trying to think. Was there any any kind of violent episodes involved with this, or was it pretty seamless?
I don't recall any. I remember some attempted violence once when Dorothy Counts was trying to integrate, but that was the beginning of integration. But you didn't have any problems with West Charlotte.
No.
You didn't have any violent problems. No.
Good deal. West Charlotte really seems like it was a pretty good school to be at.
Well, it was the only school, not the only school, but Second Ward was there, which was a older school. And you had a county school, which was Plato Price.
Plato Price?
Plato, that was a county school.
And
Plato Price did the best they could without much county support. For instance, Plato Price had their own school bus, and the principal did a lot for music. He passed. I mean, when I say passed, I mean he died naturally. But when I came to Charlotte in '50, Second Ward had a big band, and Plato Price had probably the best band. I won't say the best, but a very good band. Mm-hmm. And the principal was very supportive of music. You know, and he didn't. And he was in a county school. You know, he supported the band through funds and contributions. And
oh, excellent!
Whatnot programs.
And which is exactly
Mr. McKeithen's how name was McKeithen.
McKeithen?
McKeithen.
Excellent. And this is really pretty much how you grew the band department at West Charlotte as well.
How was that?
Just by having the interest in collecting the funds and.
Well, we'd have programs for uniforms. We'd have drives and that type of thing. But I had to get the music department to give them credit. They gave us the heavy equipment.
Right.
But the students would pay that little $10 down and get an instrument during those days.
Now, I've heard from other people and in other schools that often white schools would donate uniforms, some of their older uniforms. Did you guys do this at all?
I had heard that.
Right.
But that was before my time.
Okay, so that was before 1950.
That was before 1950.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
So by the 1950s, you were pretty self-sufficient.
No, you weren't. You had help from the city, of course. School, in other words, music was a part of the curriculum. At one time, they didn't consider music as being part of the curriculum.
Really?
No.
Huh. So before you got
that
there,
that was just something extra. Oh. Extra wasn't part of the curriculum. You know.
Interesting.
So, but the music department came into effect in 1950, the same year I came here. And the music department was I give them credit, was supportive, you know, as a heavy instrument. When you say heavy, you mean the bass, you mean,
sure,
the, you know. But the kids were expected by the clarinets and trumpets, which they did. They bought them. And I think the influence was because of the primarily marching band.
Now, other than yourself, was there any other faculty in the band department?
No, I had it.
It was just all you?
I had the instrumental music, you know. But what had happened, they were impressed by the marching band. What happened is I went to school in the Midwest where the bands were more advanced. And so I just brought it here, that's all.
Right.
That was before Florida A&M became a. But I would know Ohio State where band competition even to today is you know.
Right. It's competitive.
Ohio State, yeah. Michigan, and all those schools up there, they coming up there. And I saw where Ohio State operated. It was different from my 3 years Army band experience. See?
Right.
So I came here youthful. I was 25, but I had that experience. And so the kids love that, they love that marching band. But after you get them into your group, then you can show them the, you can show them the symphonics and all that. But you first got to get them. Sure. You got to get them to play.
Once you get them in, you teach them
so
how to play.
So that marching band was the tool. And I see kids today that was in the marching band. Everywhere you go to a funeral, you can go anywhere you see the kids, and they remember that. They remember that band. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go.
Very good.
You remember me? Yeah. 9 times out of 10, I remember the name. And if I don't remember the name, I remember what they played, or what they should have played, or didn't play. No, what they didn't play. I remember.
I imagine in your 35-year career, you probably saw a few faces too, you know?
Yeah. I can go shopping center, I can go anywhere. I was invited to the class reunion. They had a national reunion, you know, last month.
Oh. You know? What, a number of different years came?
Huh?
A number of years of alumni.
Yeah.
Reunion.
Those who graduated, yeah, I'm usually invited to the class reunions, but this was the national class reunion.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier to you that when talking to people during this project, we found a lot of people really center on their high school years as a real,
yeah,
you know, important mm-hmm. defining moment during growing up in this area, mm-hmm. and that both West Charlotte and Sackett Ward were thought of very, very highly.
Yeah.
Really made an impact on people where they maybe didn't have anything else to turn toward.
Well, as I once heard one principal say he wanted to give them all he got because a percentage of them are not going to college. So you try to make it there, you know. It's just the way things were.
Maybe there wasn't an opportunity after high school, so you want to try to do as much for the child while they're in high school.
Well, you I guess you're basing it on percentage. You just didn't. That doesn't mean that the kid didn't go to college,
right?
But the percentage,
right?
You see me? So he I give him credit. He tried to give him what he wanted. He wanted the best English teacher. He wanted the best this or that. You know. I think he got it too.
And he would actively go and recruit people whom he thought were the best?
Well, you know, the principal, I would say, gave you the job. You were hired from downtown, but they tried to get the best to come to that school. You know.
Very good. All right. Well, it certainly seems like they succeeded from the memories that people have shared with us.
But 1950, I'm going way back. I came here as a music teacher. You know, music teacher used to teach music and history and English. Music was just something on the side. It wasn't part of the curriculum.
Right.
It wasn't part of the required curriculum. See, but in 1950, that changed with the music department. So I had 35 years of it. I've been retired 22 years, and I'm 82. I still enjoy music.
Well, sitting in your room here, I could definitely tell.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Holloway, I have to thank you for your time. It's been an awful pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, young man.
Exactly. And we're going to wrap this up at this point in time, and I'm going to thank Mr. Holloway once again.
Okay.